KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulvedo. Today we're going to talk about opiates, heroin, and what this epidemic is doing to our state. We could talk numbers. In 2015, almost 2,000 people died. 4,000 went to the emergency room from opiate overdoses. And in 2016, there were 24 million prescriptions for opioids in California. This according to the California Healthcare Foundation. And while numbers make a stat, names make a story. And we're going to be introducing you to people whose story involves opioid addiction this morning, including Tracy Helton. She's a public health worker, addiction recovery advocate, and a former heroin user herself. Tracy, welcome to the California Report.
I'm happy to be here.
It seems that this epidemic is touching people who aren't stereotypically associated with addictions.
So humans love drugs. We've been using drugs for thousands of years. We just don't like people to use particular drugs. Heroin has a lot of stigma attached to it, but prescription opioid use, not so much. I mean, it's really cheaper in some places to buy heroin than it is to buy a mixed drink, and you can get it delivered to you.
Have you spoken to California lawmakers about the issue, and what has been the response from lawmakers?
So currently there is actually a bill that's being shopped through the California legislature around safe injection rooms and the possibility of safe injection
rooms.
What
is a safe injection room?
So a safe consumption room. So I'm old school, so we call them safe injection rooms. Safe consumption rooms are a place where a person can go in and inject drugs that is medically monitored, as opposed to them using out on street corners.
I can hear some people in the audience going, that sounds crazy, because essentially you're endorsing a behavior that often leads to crime and prison, increased medical costs for everyone. How is that justified?
All I can say when it comes to the issue of any kind of harm reduction is that we encourage people to wear seatbelts, but we don't want them to speed. So we really want to keep people safe. And if they're engaging in unsafe behaviors, we want to do the best we can with certain means to protect them. I can only speak for myself. You know, I am a mother of three children. I'm a homeowner in the SF Bay area. I have a really great job. I've written a book. I've done all these different things. I wouldn't have been able to accomplish any of these things if I would have died with a needle hanging out of my arm. But we're getting to the place in the United States that no one is immune from the opioid crisis, that no one is immune from these different issues. And so we're going to have to make hard decisions that may go against people's past sort of ideas.
Tracy, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Now, as we continue this discussion, let us consider this idea that no one is immune. We're going to introduce you now to three mothers whose children were all addicted to opiates and who seemed, at one point, to turn a corner.
My name is Pamela Robinson. I live in Rancho Mirage, California, and my son is Aaron. Aaron was clean around 6 to 9 months. He was in a rehab center in Orange County, and they had given him the day off, so we all went to Disneyland. Aaron looked healthy. A lot of color to his skin, continuous smiling, happy. He was absolutely back to his normal self. And the family being together was so important to him. He actually didn't even really want to go to Disneyland because that was not a particular favorite place of his. But he probably went on Screaming California probably about 7 times. And I just keep thinking of us standing there looking at their faces as they were getting ready to take off over and over and over on the same ride again at Disneyland because they were having so much fun.
My name is Denise Cullen. I live in Indio, California, and my son's name is Jeff Cullen. When Jeff was released from jail, the court had ordered a 6-month county paid for rehabilitation. He was doing well in that time. He was sober for 2 months prior. So the Jeff that I picked up was happy and positive. Jeff was talking about his future and how he wanted to get married someday and have kids. So he just had a really positive attitude and was clear-headed. And it was the first time that we really felt that maybe this is over now after 12 years.
Hi, my name is Colleen. My son's Danny, and I currently live in Palm Desert, California. The last time I saw my son, Danny, was in San Clemente. We had lunch at the pier. He looked great. He was clear. He was articulate. He was back to fighting shape. He was basically went to the gym every day. He had a new girlfriend who he brought with him to introduce me to. He was very happy. He had hope for the future with her. And he was very just joy-filled and just, you know, looked like he was good. I felt like he'd been, you know, was back on the right track, like he'd come out of the darkness, if you will. When we said goodbye, I asked him to give me a, you know, big hug. And he gave me a big bear hug. You know, that last hug will forever be on my mind.
I thought that that was the end, that we had already made a lot of progress and he had, you know, decided to move on with his life. And I think that actually is exactly what he believed as well.
The day that he signed up for the treatment, right before I saw him for the last time, I felt this feeling of doom and he wanted to go to the beach. And I just felt this anxiety. And he said, Mom, what? What's wrong? It's a beautiful day outside. I have my freedom and I have people who love me. What more could I want? And that, I will never forget that.
These stories do not end well. Each one of their sons relapsed and died. Relapse is one of the reasons opium use is an epidemic. It is hard to quit. According to a National Institutes of Health study from 2010, the relapse rate for opioid addicts is 91%.
Support for the California Report comes from Block Construction, a builder committed to enhancing communities in the Bay Area and Central Coast. BLACH.com. Block Construction. Together, building greatness. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And Robotham International, providing strategic tax, accounting, and business advisory services to global families, entrepreneurs, and venture-backed companies. Robotham.com.
And that's the California Report for Friday, August 18th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Peter Arcuni produced today's show. Polly Stryker directed it. Danny Bringer engineered it. I'm John Sepulvedo. Have a good weekend.